But the idea of coming to church, there are a lot of reasons why people come to church. I tell like two jokes a year, and usually they're the same two jokes. There's a joke about a guy getting up, you know, it's Sunday morning, and he doesn't want to get out of bed to go to church. And he's like laying in bed, and his wife, you know, next, you know, getting up and getting ready. And he says, "I just don't feel like going to church today." Yeah, you know this one, right? I've heard you say this one. Yeah. "So I don't feel like going to church today. I just don't want to go, you know." And she says, "Come on, get up and get ready." She says, "I'm not going. You give me three reasons why I should go to church." She says, "One, you need to do it for me because I'm your wife and I need you to sit with me. You need to be with me in church. Two, you need to do it for the children because the children need to see you in church. Three, you're the pastor. Now get up and go to church, you know." Yeah. Sometimes even for a pastor, it can be kind of hard to go to church, you know, because it's like, you know, you don't always feel that zeal, that power, and you really want to be careful. You really want to be careful about why you go to church, you know, I can see it's like cool to hang out with me. I know that, you know, right? Not so much. Okay. But you know, it's like there are a lot of reasons why people go to church. And we're going to look at a narrative of about Jesus and his ministry and the power of his ministry. His name was getting known. His fame was growing. He was healing and doing ministry. And people were talking about him. And he was getting to be an excitement in the air about Jesus. And, hey, let's go see Jesus kind of thing, right? We shared yesterday the text that where he healed a leper, and then this little verse kind of separates these two narratives where Jesus goes to heal, and as he goes, he heals a leper, and this power of God just demonstrating who Jesus is, and then it says Jesus, you know, went off, he withdrew to a lonely place and prayed. And I couldn't leave that alone. I couldn't leave that little verse out of our meditation, of our thinking about God, because, you know, the stress, the strain, the work of ministry, right? The work of caring for people, the work of trying to help people, the work of praying for people. There's a lot that goes on when we are engaged in ministry. And it's not just the pastor, praise God, that's engaged in ministry. People who care about people who are witnessing to people that are praying for people. But that takes something out of us. And I just think about the Lord of all the earth, you know, Jesus, flesh and God, right? Still needed to get off and go by himself and just him and the Father and get strength and get power and get, you know, keep his heart straight, his mind straight, his mission straight, right? And I always admire the idea. Luke points this out a few times that Jesus would go off and do that and pray and gather that strength that he needs, right? And man, if Jesus needed to do that, if Jesus needed to do that, how much do we? How much do we need to go, you know, to find that space, to cry out to God, to call to him and ask him, you know, Lord, you know, help me to do what's right. Well, again, what was happening with him was there was more pressure on him. There were more people coming to him, more people asking for help from him. And so he, you know, goes off and he prays. And then when he's done, he goes to the next event, the next spot of ministry. One day as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. So here it is. You know, you've got this layout of really three groups of people. Where you going, Miguel? Have a seat. Don't you ever get up in my church when I'm talking. Don't ever do that. We got to train these kids. Mm-mm-mm. Why did you come? To hear me. Okay. Yeah. So there were these, there were the people had come. There was, again, this excitement. They had heard, you know, that Jesus was healing. They had heard that he was teaching things that nobody had ever taught before. And so people were coming to hear him. And then also the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were coming, right? Now, if we know the old New Testament narratives about the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you have to ask, why were they coming? Why were they coming to hear Jesus? Were they excited about, you know, the idea Jesus might heal them? Or were they excited about the idea, oh, we want to listen and learn from Jesus? Or do you think maybe they came to pick a fight? They came to hear what Jesus was going to say, and they were going to dissect everything he said and say, wait a minute, I think he said something wrong there. Hey, come here, what do you think about that? You know, that kind of stuff goes on. I think that might have been what their motive was coming to pick a fight, come to test him out, to try to find some kind of fault, to try to find, you know, some reason to discredit him. Because after all, look what's going on. All these people are coming to see Jesus. They're all, you know, leaving the synagogue, or they're going to go to the synagogue where Jesus is going to go and do something. So, you know, there's that element of jealousy, and so they're trying to discredit him. They're trying to find out something they can pick on him for. And so they're there for that reason. But Jesus is there. Think about that. Here these guys are going. For whatever reason the people come, Jesus is there. I mean, we know who Jesus is. Jesus, the person of great power, the person who is God in flesh dwelling, the Savior of the world is there. And these guys are coming. Maybe they're coming for the wrong reason. Then there were some men carrying a paralytic on a mat, and they tried to take him into the house and lay him before him, but they couldn't find a way to do this because of the crowd. They went up on the roof and they lowered the mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. So here were some guys. These guys brought their friend who was lame, who was paralyzed on a mat, right? And they had to carry him. They came to see Jesus. They came to see Jesus because they said, this Jesus can heal. This Jesus can make our friend better. They believed that Jesus had power. They believed that, you know, these stories they'd heard about Jesus, you know, he healed a leper, he healed a blind person, he healed this one or that one. They heard about that and they believed in him. And they had such a great faith, right? They come there and they get to the place, and you know, these houses were small, and you know, the rooms were filled, but I'm sure there's a little courtyard usually right outside the room, and that was probably full, and who knows how far that crowd went. But there was no way they were going to be able to carry this guy through the crowd, through the doors, and get into Jesus. So, you know, they didn't give up. They didn't turn around. They looked around. They said, okay, up on the roof, through the roof, we're going to get our friend to Jesus. Because why? We believe that Jesus can heal him. We believe that Jesus will do something for him that nobody else can do. They believed in Jesus. They had faith. And so they climb up on the roof and they lower their friend down in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, see, they came in faith. Remember that. How did they come? They came in faith. They came in faith. They came believing in Jesus. They came looking for Jesus. They came looking for Jesus' help, right? It wasn't a social event. It wasn't a sightseeing event. It wasn't to argue. It was they came to see Jesus. They came to see him help their friend. And he saw their faith. And he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who does this fellow think he is? He's speaking blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus knew what they were thinking. Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin, he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home. and immediately stood in front of them and took what he'd been lying on and went home praising God. Now remember, these Pharisees, these teachers of the law, they were not coming to see something amazing. They were not coming to listen to Jesus. They were coming to pick a fight. And as soon as Jesus, you know, sees these guys in faith and sees this guy and he says, "Your sins are forgiven," they say, "Oh God, we got him. We got him. Look at this guy. Who does he think he is? Who does this guy think he is that he can forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins." And we talked about this yesterday at the food program, the idea of these miracles and what they mean. You know, why is it? Because, I mean, we pray for people all the time. We pray for healing. We pray for all kinds of things to happen with people. But I tell you, I've never seen someone paralyzed get up and you know, take their hospital bed and go home. I've never seen a person filled with leprosy, which is a horrendous disease. In a second, all that disease is gone, just at the word of saying, "Be clean." Never seen that. So why is it that this Jesus, and I'm not saying that can't happen, but I'm just saying, why is it with Jesus that these things happen? Why is it that Jesus can go to a tomb where a man's been locked in for 4 days and say, "Get up," and that's all it takes? No song, no dance, no send me an offering and I'll do this. But just get up, and Lazarus walks out of the tomb. Why? And it is for this very reason. He says, you know, he tells the guy, he says, "Your sins are forgiven." And the argument ensues. "Who do you think you are?" He says, "I'm the one who can forgive sins. And if I can forgive sins, I can tell this guy to walk." You know, which one's easier to say? Because you can say your sins are forgiven and it might not mean anything. You might not see any demonstration of that. But when you say to a man that's been paralyzed and unable to walk, and then, you know, "Just get up and walk," and the guy gets up and walks, and not only is he, you know, again, he picks up his mat, he's able to go home. It's a miracle of miracles. Showing power, showing authority, showing that Jesus can do the things that he said he could do. What has Jesus told you he can do? Jesus told you he can forgive your sins. Jesus told you he can raise you up from the dead. Jesus told you he can give you eternal life. Jesus told you he can give you the kingdom of heaven. Jesus told you all those great, powerful, and precious promises. And how did we see any proof of his ability to do any of these things? He says to a man paralyzed, "Get up and walk." He says to a blind man, "See," and he sees. He says to a dead man, "Get up," and the man gets up. There's a power and there's authority in Jesus. There's a power and authority in Jesus. There's great, great promise in Jesus. Why did we come here today? Why did we come to this space? Over 110 years, people have been praying here, calling on the name of the Lord here, worshiping here, right? We're part of that. Why? I try to make sure that when I come, I'm coming to see Jesus. When I come, I'm coming to talk to Him. I'm coming to call on Him because I know my soul needs Jesus. My sins need to be washed away by the power of Jesus. My hope of resurrection lies in one name, and that is in the name of Jesus. And my hope for the kingdom of God is in one person's authority to give me the kingdom of God, and that is in the name of Jesus. So we come here to call on the name of Jesus. You see, the Pharisees, they came looking for a fight, and they got a fight. And the crowd, they came because they wanted to see something amazing. And everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. And they were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Those who came to see something, they saw something. But then there were those guys that came to meet with Jesus. There were those guys that came to see Him and to ask Him to do something that nobody else could do. There were those who came to ask Jesus for help, to ask Jesus to give strength where there was weakness, to ask Jesus for His demonstration of power in their lives. That's how we should come. You know? That's how we should come. Don't come 'cause it's Sunday. Don't come because it's what I've been doing. Don't come because the pastor's charming. I'm talking about another church, okay? Talking about another church. Don't come because the light show is so beautiful. Don't come because we really got great musicians. Don't come for anything else except for to say, I'm going to come and I'm going to call on the name of Jesus and I'm going to find power in Jesus and I'm going to find strength in Jesus and I'm going to find salvation in Jesus, because in Jesus all those things are there. And He's always there. He's always there. He's always there. He was there in that little house. Some people picked a fight. That's what they came for. Some people were amazed. That's what they came for. And some people's lives were dramatically changed because that's what they came for. Why do we come? Let's come to meet Jesus. When we gather in this little place or across the street or anywhere we gather, let's gather to meet with Jesus. I have to remind myself of that sometimes. Sometimes you start getting into this habit. It's a habit of church. Don't. It's not a habit. It's like I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Him so much. And I need to meet with Him. I need to talk to Him. I need to hear from Him. I need Jesus so much. Yeah? And this is where I come to meet with Him. With you all. Yeah. All right? Yeah, let's praise the Lord and thank Him. Father, we thank You that, first of all, You are always there. You are the God who is. You are present. We ask, mighty God, that You help us to come with our hearts filled with expectation of who You are. We would reach out to the powerful Savior, that those great, precious promises will be real in our heart because Your Spirit will speak to us and let us know how real they are, that Your grace and Your love will overflow in us and through us, Lord. We pray, Father, You'll help us to come as those who truly want to be with You. In Jesus' name, amen.